There's a famine in the land. That's the diagnosis. What is this famine? Simply this. We're not living in true revelation. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. Let me say it again yet another way. Too many people have not had an unveiling of Jesus of Nazareth to the eyes of their hearts that's unshakable and tangible and life-giving and real. The truth then can't be taken away from us. It can't be beaten out of us. It can't be reasoned out of us. Failure won't diminish it. Joseph in prison. Success won't erode it. David on the throne, the richest man that ever lived. We can't be shaken because it's as real as our own existence and more trustworthy than that by far. We know that. It's an inner sense of the Son of God that came to set captives free and to remove the sins of His people. Rock solid revelation to the heart that did not come from flesh and blood. Something we simply heard from another mortal human being and decided for or against. Apathy, I should hasten to add, if revelation is missing in your life, will kill you. Apathy will kill you. Well, I don't know if I have that or not. That just sounds like words. If it sounds like words, that's pretty much proof that you don't have a revelation that the Father has bestowed upon you. The two men on the road to Emmaus said, "Did not our hearts burn within us as we walked along the way?" If you have a true revelation of Christ in the inner man, you can surely identify even with my feeble descriptive words about revelation of the Son of God. You'll be able, no doubt, to add your own words. Not only that, but this too. You'll feel that vibrating, resonant frequency in your inner man. Did not our hearts burn within us as we walked along the way? That is one mark of true revelation. This is not meant to be an insult, but to drive all to one Him in reality in a desperate way. Honesty with your true condition, poor in spirit, is always a starting place. I'll never have anything in God's kingdom that I'm not honest enough to start with humility and say, I don't have that. I must empty myself of any pride and self-justification and say, that's not who I am. Joy unspeakable and full of glory? Nope. Peace that transcends understanding, the power of an indestructible life? Nope. Rivers of living water flowing from me ain't happening. These aren't things that I can truly identify with. I'm desperate for that, and I'd rather die than not have these things, than not have these promises fulfilled in me. Jesus is true, and everything He said and everything He did was true and righteous, and I refuse to accept any placebo. I won't take any halfway things. I won't accept somebody singing in my ear so that makes my spine tingle, and that's supposed to be filled with the Spirit. I'm not going to babble a bunch of words that nobody can understand that makes my spine tingle, and that's supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus of Nazareth is the character and the personality and the life and the throbbing heart and all the loves that Jesus has and all the hates that He has. That's baptized in the Spirit. That's filled with the Spirit. And I don't want any substitutes. I don't want any cheap halfway things. I don't want a bunch of religion. I don't want anybody patting me on the back for doing good things or saying wise things. I want to have the very heart of Jesus throbbing inside of me. I want to have the very mind of Christ that's like the wind. It blows wherever it wills. Such it is with everyone born of the Spirit. I want to have the very essence of the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ inside of me and nothing less. Don't give me any placebos. Don't give me any marshmallows. Don't give me any cotton candy. Don't give me any religion. I want Jesus, or I don't want anything. That's got to be our hearts. If we're going to have it, that's got to be our hearts. I don't want to be a nice person. I don't want to do a bunch of good deeds. I don't want to work hard for the cause. I want to experience the person of Jesus and see heaven open and see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the glory of God. I want to understand what glory is because it's filling my heart and my mind. I want to understand these things as an experience, not just as poetry that makes me feel good and cleanses my conscience a little bit so I can go back to work and do the really important things of life, changing diapers, pushing a pencil, punching on a computer, playing video games, laughing with the boys, you know, fooling on all that stuff. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. Apart from me, separate from me, not abiding with me, apart from me, not being one with me, you have and are and do nothing, Jesus said. But if you abide in me, if you make your home in me, and my words make their home in you, then you'll bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciple, fruit that will last, things that will last a billion, billion, billion years, living letters, transformed lives. But that's between you and God, you see. There ain't anything I read in here so far. There's nothing I've ever read in that Bible so far that allows me the opportunity to blame somebody else if I don't find Jesus. That promise is for you and for your children and all who are far off, to anyone that calls on the name of the Lord, to all who believe in me, I'll give rivers of living water gushing from the inner man. To anyone who will forsake their life, I'll give 100 fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, lands, and possessions. There's nobody to blame. Jesus wants you to be filled with his life, that you and he, as a pure virgin presented to Jesus, would the two would become one, you and he, that you'd have the very mind of Christ. That opportunity is open if your heart's not filled with other things: selfishness, pride, legalism, fear, bitterness, unforgiveness, judgment, worldliness, trivial pursuits of vain things. I refuse to accept any placebo. I will not tolerate any mimicking of life to the full. 100 fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, lands, and possessions in this life, and in the life to come, eternal life. I want the real thing, or I'd rather die. To live for pleasure instead is to be dead even while I live, as Paul said. I can only accept living and moving and having my being in him. That kind of attitude is what God has always worked with. And that's why so few people have truly been filled with the Spirit, other than the stuff that characterizes much of the charismatic world today, the fluff that isn't the way Peter and Paul and John and James lived. Filled with the Spirit of Christ, the living God, rising up out of a man's character to shine forth like the stars in the universe. That's filled with the Spirit. Other things are accessories to that. But there is so little of the real thing today. So few are willing to start with the humility of saying, I've been, quote, preaching for 20 years. I've been a, quote, Christian for 30 years. I've been a, quote, elder, but I don't know anything. I've not experienced Christ. I've just known about him. That's the starting place. A deep, deep, deep hunger for the real thing, and an honesty to admit we don't have it if we don't, and a willingness to lay all the vain pursuits aside in order to make room in your heart for him. So how do you get somebody from point A to point B? Talk to them about these very things. Whet their appetite for reality. Call on them to pursue. God is looking diligently and forcefully to and fro throughout the whole earth to find someone that he could fill with his Spirit. He searches for ones that he could allow the Spirit of his beloved Son to work through in an untainted, unhindered way. He finds so few that will stand in the gap, so few that will ever pay the price to be treated as his son was, with a reputation as a scoundrel. He finds few willing to embrace the cost of the cross, so he can't invest his Spirit in them. There is no Pentecost without a cross first. These truths are those that I would beg someone to consider if I saw them caught between the two worlds of life and death. These are the things I would beg one to consider if it was obvious they were in serious need of a true revelation of Christ that flesh and blood has not revealed, but the Father himself has revealed. I think we can stop there for this evening.